Florida Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, affection connection. New research emphasizes the importance of affection in our lives. Are you getting the love you need and given the love you could? 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Affection Connection. We're talking about getting the love that you need and giving the love that you could to all the people in your life. Are there situations that are making it difficult to feel as loved as you'd like to be by the people in your life? Do you struggle, for whatever reason, to get the emotional connection you need with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends or family? Or, for that matter, is it difficult for you to be as affectionate, affirming, or emotionally connected as the people in your life seem to want you to be? Whatever side of that coin you're on, we want to talk with you about making that affectionate connection in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
You know, Greg, as you're talking, I can't help thinking of that old adage, you know, how do you hug a porcupine? Very carefully. Yeah, well, there are a lot of, sometimes we're the porcupine, sometimes somebody we're in relationship with is the porcupine, but we still need that connection. There could be a lot of things that get in our way, whether it's arguments or personality types or history or whatever that is, but we all long for a healthy, holy, life-giving connection with somebody. When I say life-giving, I mean that kind of love that says, I feel more of myself. I feel stronger. I feel closer to God because of this. I can give glory to God more because of this person in my life. But that can be so difficult when we have that spouse that we thought was going to sort of, you know, be that perfect person for us, and they're letting us down in some way, or there's some barrier between us that's making us trip over the relationship, and we're wishing that we felt more connected, but we just don't for some reason. We don't know what to do about it. And sometimes Satan lies to us and says, well, you just married the wrong person. You know, it's just not the right connection. Or exactly, that kind of love doesn't really exist. Well, all we have to do is look at the cross and see that it really does exist. And that doesn't mean that marriage is a cross. It means that people are meant to love us well, and we are meant to love others well. And Christ is that model for us. He showed us that it's possible. His mother showed us that it's possible, and we desire that for a rightly ordered reason.
And God wants you to have that love in your life. He placed the people in your life that are in your life so that they could show you in real, tangible ways the love that comes from His heart. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that we were all made for love. That God gave us our bodies and our language so that we could communicate His love to each other through affirming words, loving service, emotional connection, generous affection. And when we're affectionate and affirming as we were created to be, we actively contribute to each other's mental and physical health and nourish the seeds of joy in each other's hearts. Giving and receiving affection and affirmation isn't just a nice thing to do. It's actually, wait for it, a spiritual exercise that allows each person to experience God's love pouring out of the hearts of the people that He's placed in our lives. You know, one of the church fathers, Tertullian, once said that the pagans often look at the early believers and exclaim, "Look at those Christians. See how they love one another. The theology of the body reminds us that building God's kingdom isn't about being busy and doing many things. It's really about creating loving heart-to-heart connection with all the people God's placed in our lives, especially our spouse and our kids, but anybody who's close to us. Building God's kingdom means making the time to be present, to be loving, to build each other up. So we're asking you, what makes it hard for you to make that connection that you long for with the people that you love? Are there certain situations, conflicts, difficulties that are serving as obstacles, preventing you from being as connected as you need to be? Give us a call. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. 877-573-7825.
Well, and Greg, I want to underline a word you're using, affirmation. You know, do you get the affirmation you need from the people that are meant to build you up, to make you feel more of who God created you to be, those people that he put in your life to love you? Or are you just sort of feeling abandoned or dried up in that way where you just can't get that from the people who are really placed in your life to do that for you? Or do you have a hard time affirming others in your life? You're struggling with letting your kids know how much you care about them because of the mistakes they made, or because you're afraid to build them up too much and not, you know, make them able to withstand the world. Are you having a hard time connecting with those that God's asking you to love, and yet there's something about them or that relationship that's hindering you from being as loving as you feel like you probably should be, but you're just not sure how to get over that hurdle? Well, we're there for you if that's going on for you as well. 877-573-7825.
And one of the reasons we're talking about this, actually a couple of weeks ago, Time Magazine had an interesting article. It was titled, Why Some People Hate to Hug. And it took a look at the science of affection. And reviewed several different studies, interviewed several different psychologists that looked at the science of affection. And what they all came to, which is something we talk about regularly on this program, is that being affectionate is actually our default state. You know, there are some people who will say, you know, well, I'm just not that affectionate a person. I'm just not that expressive. And that certainly there are people who are like that, but that's not the way we were created to be. You actually have to be taught to not be affectionate. Our default state is to need to give and receive affection. Look at any baby, you know, who is desperate to be held, who longs to be cuddled. That's our natural state of being. It's natural and beneficial to be affectionate. And as I said, we have to be taught to not express that part of ourselves. You know, but it's beneficial to learn to do it, even if it doesn't come naturally to you. You know, a 2015 study from Carnegie Mellon University found that affection boosts a person's immune response by about 32%. Other research shows that people who are less affectionate are at higher risk for both depression and anxiety disorders, and in general are poorer at picking up on social cues. So their relationships in general are impaired, not just because they're not affectionate, but because they have a harder time empathizing or even making that emotional connection in general. So learning how to create connection is both a psychological and a spiritual exercise, because let's face it, what are we destined for in heaven? We're destined for communion with God and the entire communion of saints. The union that we have, it's not just a me and Jesus thing, right? We know as Catholics that we are destined for communion with God and the entire communion of saints. And so our mission as Christians now is to spend our lifetime creating the closest connection we can with the people that God has placed in our lives so that we can prepare ourselves to step into that loving union with God and the communion of saints and spend eternity in that intimate union. That's what we're working toward. And that's why working on your marriage and your family life and creating close connection with the people in your life is so important. And it's really about building the kingdom of God. You know, building the kingdom of God isn't about doing big things and staying busy for God. It's about stopping and stepping back and loving the people that God has placed in your life with the love that comes from His heart, which is not always easy to do for lots and lots and lots of reasons. So if you're having a hard time feeling as loved as you'd like by your spouse, your kids, your extended family, your friends, the people that God has placed in your life, if you're struggling to make that emotional connection with the people you care about, or if it's hard for you to somehow reach out and make that connection with others, for whatever reason, let's talk through it and find some answers. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, You pour out all of Your love for us. You gave Yourself to us freely, totally, faithfully, and fruitfully when You gave Yourself to us on the cross and wedded heaven to earth. You hold nothing back, and You ask us to give all of ourselves to You, and also to enter into loving communion with the people that You've placed in our lives. But Lord, as broken, sinful, hurting people, we often hold back, we often struggle to make those connections, we often get distracted by all the stuff and things there are to do and preoccupy us. Help us, Lord, to remember that building Your kingdom means opening our arms, as You did on the cross, opening our arms to one another so that we can give Your love generously to the people who share our life. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and
the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, affection connection. We're talking about that longing for connection that we all have, to some degree or another, and that difficulty that we have in making that connection sometimes with our spouse, with our kids, whether they're young kids or grown-ups, with our extended family. Inevitably, there's probably somebody in your life you'd like to feel closer to, but something's getting in the way. What is it? Let's talk it through and find some faithful, effective ways to bridge that gap between your heart and the hearts of those that God has placed in your life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Yadi, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Hi, Yadi. Welcome to Mortal Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, good morning. Well, I just wanted to ask you guys and maybe help me understand a little bit. I am a very affectionate person, and mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the kind that will probably get on people's nerves because I'm always trying to hug them and kiss them. But my partner, I have a hard time with him being affectionate. And I tell him that he only that
is a boyfriend or a husband. When you say partner, what do you mean?
Well, we live together, but we're not married.
Okay. All right, go on.
So I have a problem with him because he tends to not be very affectionate, and his answer is, "This is just not the way I express my love for you." And his way of apparently expressing his love is. Includes a lot of materialism, which I explained to him like over and over. This does not fill the void that I have in my heart. I want to feel your touch. I want you to give me a kiss. You know, I need your actual affection. I need you. I don't want you to replace that with a necklace, yeah. A ring, a trip, a car, a house.
So you're asking, what are you asking exactly? Because there are a lot of different directions we can go with this.
I want to try to understand him because I often feel like, maybe he just doesn't love me, you know, because I do see him be affectionate. We do have a little girl, and he's very affectionate to her. So I know that he knows how to be affectionate. And so sometimes I find myself thinking, you know, maybe he just doesn't love me the way he should probably love his spouse, which is probably why.
Well, I mean, there's no maybe about it. I mean, he's not loving you the way you want and need to be loved. But that's it. Let me just ask you as well. Where's the commitment issue here? I mean, you guys are living together. You've got it. You've got a little girl. What's getting in the way of getting married?
Well, he keeps getting in the way of us getting married. I feel like he keeps finding excuses, like mm-hmm. something that he'll end up turning, and it happens to be my fault.
I got to say that this is not the guy for you. I'm sorry. I know you've invested a lot.
I want to say right up front, when there's a child involved, we will move heaven and earth to keep that child as intact family as possible and move them toward being a sacramentally intact family. But this is not healthy.
Yeah, there are lots of signs that this is not a healthy relationship. Now, I want you to, there's a book by Dr. Tim Clinton. We recommend it regularly on the program, called Attachments. And you were asking, well, how come some people are more affectionate than others? Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, we were made for love, and any baby, you know, is naturally affectionate, naturally craves affection. We were created to give and receive that love. But what happens when we're growing up, sometimes that craving is either rewarded or it's discouraged by our parents. You know, some parents really frown on affection. They're afraid to spoil, quote unquote, their children by being affectionate to their kids. They think that the more I leave my kid to kind of figure stuff out for themselves, the better off I am. Now, you know, when you're talking about a 12-year-old, having that kid figure stuff out for himself is a good thing. When you're talking about a 12-month-old, that's another story altogether. Okay. But when we're growing up, the degree to which our parents respond to us promptly, generously, and consistently rewards our ability to be social and affectionate. Now, there are three different attachment styles you'll read about in this book. The first one is a secure one, where parents respond promptly and generously and consistently to their kids' needs. And what that does is it teaches kids to be able to be affectionate with others, receive appropriate affection from others, to be independent because they're confident, they feel good about themselves and who they are because of the affection they've received and the affirmation they've received. But they're also able to be appropriately interdependent. They can lean on other people and have other people lean on them comfortably. The next attachment style is the anxious attachment style, which I think is what you are, Yadi. The anxious attachment style is where mom and dad maybe aren't as consistent or quite as prompt or as generous in responding to my needs. They kind of make me work for it a little longer, either because they've got their own issues or they're distracted or they're conflicted about how affectionate they should be or whatever. And they make me, the kid, work harder for it. So I have to cry a little longer. I have to beg a little bit more. I have to get really good grades to get the affirmation that I'm looking for, whatever it is. And I only get it if I do X, Y, and Z, which teaches me growing up that it's my job to make relationships work. And when they don't work, even if it's not my fault, I think it is, which is exactly where you're at. You're stuck with this guy who won't love you the way you need to be loved, who won't commit to you the way you deserve to be committed. But you feel like it's your job to figure it out so that you can push the right buttons to get him to love you. And that is anxious attachment.
And what I want to emphasize here, what I'm hearing in your description of this relationship is, A, he's somewhat abusive in that every time you push him for a commitment to marriage, he does something that says it's your fault that you know he's not going to give this to you. But on top of that, he's using you in that you're in a sexual relationship with him and he gives you money and gifts to make himself feel connected and sort of pay you off. That's not a healthy, holy relationship.
And that is an avoidant, attachment style right there. Somebody with an avoidant attachment style doesn't do well giving themselves in a relationship. They'll give you stuff, they'll do things, but they won't give you their heart, they won't give you themselves, they won't commit to you. They love to get your affection for them. They love to kind of sweep you off your feet, but then they don't know what to do with you except drop you on your butt.
Well, and it's in direct contradiction to the theology of the body that says people are people to be loved, they're sons and daughters of God, not things to be used. And he's using you.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's not using you because he's paying you off. And you're worth so much more than that, Yadi. You're worth so much that Jesus Christ loves you enough that he died for you so that you could know how beautiful and wonderful and good you are. And to settle for this guy treating you like this every day. And frankly, to allow yourself to use him in that way, to keep seeking after that affection and just continuing this sort of hollow relationship with him, this is never going to bear the fruit that you deserve and that God wants you to have in a holy relationship.
Yadi, I want to follow up with two resources again. I recommended already Tim Clinton's book, Attachments. I'd like you to also pick up a copy of For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, so that you have a sense of what you have a right to expect as a Catholic person from your relationships. Again, that's For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. If you need additional support, don't hesitate to reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, because you might need some additional support to figure out your way forward here. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for the call. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about the struggle we all have in making that affection connection with the people that we care about. Who are those people that you wish you could feel closer to, but for some reason are struggling to bridge the gap? Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Dr. Joseph White, who'll be sharing with us ways to increase that affection connection in families. Stick around. More to Life will be back after this.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I never really wandered from the faith. In fact, after having a taste of working in corporate America, I was literally pulled toward a more meaningful work. I was not fulfilled working in a job where I couldn't talk about Jesus. I am most complete when the topic of conversation is God.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, today, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about affection connection. Who are the people in your life that you'd like to feel closer to, but for whatever reason can't bridge the gap? Let's find some ways to close that gap so that you can experience the connection, the love that God wants for you. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Dr. Joseph White. He is a family psychologist, master catechist, and the catechetical consultant to our Sunday Visitor publications. He's here today to talk to us about the importance of affection in family life. Hey, Dr. Joseph, welcome more to Life.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
All right, so let's talk about this. You know, in the last segment, we were sharing how affection is really a basic human need. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, we need affection in the same way as we need food and water and sleep and all of those other basic needs. In fact, this is a basic need of really all intelligent mammals as well. There was a psychologist Terry Harlow who did a study with rhesus monkeys and created these little wire and wood moms for them, and one of them had a bottle attached, so they were made out of wire and wood, they had little monkey faces. One of them had a bottle attached that would feed the baby monkeys. The other one had fur on it. And what he found was they strongly preferred to hang out with and cuddle with and spend time with the little wire monkey that had fur because they needed that affection.
They preferred right, affection right, over food.
Over the right, they'd run over, them. They'd get a little bit of food, but they'd run right back to what they considered the cuddly, secure mommy, the one with the fur on it.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, for humans, affection, we know, wires our brains for relationship. It helps us to form a secure attachment with significant people in our lives, beginning with our parents. And that really lays the foundation for all future relationships from there.
And I think, too, that, you know, affection helps what people don't appreciate. It really, you said, it wires our brains. It helps wire our brains for insight and for regulation of stress and regulation of our other emotions as well. It's not just that it feels good. It actually does good things for our entire nervous system.
Absolutely. And you know, you can think of it as a psychological secure base from which we explore the whole rest of life. You know, I think the other thing in the family, affection lays a foundation that connects affection, physical expression, with stable, loving relationships. So if we begin life with the appropriate measure of affection from the people in our family, that ends up keeping us from looking for that physical expression and that affection in unhealthy places, or, as we know our culture tends to do, artificially separating physical affection from love, taking it out of context and making those things not connected anymore.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, as Catholics who really are concerned with communicating to our kids the need to save sex for marriage, to be chaste, you know, what people don't appreciate a lot of times is generous affection is one of the best ways to increase the likelihood that our kids will be able to, and be willing to save themselves from marriage. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. You know, if kids don't get that kind of affection in the family, they go looking for it someplace else. And a lot of times, you know, if, for example, if girls haven't had close and stable and affectionate relationships with their fathers, they start looking for that physical affection in other places that are less healthy.
And the same is true with boys, where, you know, where boys are not given that affection, they believe that the only way they can appropriately express affection is sexually. So this is a really important thing that we're talking about here today. Dr. White, thank you so much for joining us and sharing those points. Of course, if folks would like to learn more about your work, they can go to sharingcatholicfaith.com. That's sharingcatholicfaith.com. When we come back, more with your calls about affection connection.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have, and we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know Him?
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the key aspects of fostering healthy relationships is called self-regulation. It's a skill that enables you to respond rather than react to a stressful situation or argument. Rather than allowing your brain to escalate your stress level, you enter the situation with a solution-based mentality. The first step to mastering self-regulation is to assess your own stress level and work to control it. You actually train yourself to react calmly to stressful situations. Lots of people do it. Firefighters, policemen, happily married couples, and you can too. Secondly, be aware of your regular level of stress and closely monitor what causes it to spike. After building up this self-awareness, you'll be prepared to respond positively to stressful situations. Take time today to assess how you can react more positively to stressful situations so that you can grow in virtue and be a blessing to your relationships. For more stress-reducing tips, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about affection connection on More to Life. Who are those people in your life that you'd like to feel closer to, but for some reason just can't bridge the gap? Let's talk it through and find some ways forward. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Rudy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hey, Rudy, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hey, how you doing today?
Just fine, thanks. What's up?
Good. Hey, well, I guess my question was, I have a hard time with emphasizing.
You're good. Empathizing. I got you.
Empathizing. We're following you.
We're going to have a quiz or anything later on. We got you. So yeah, you have a hard time empathizing with who?
Yeah, you know, when she's feeling down or feeling something, I don't know if I'm disconnected. I mean, I love my wife to death, but I have a hard time feeling that empathy that I should be feeling. And
so tell me, what do you do? So let's say your wife's having a bad day and she's venting to you. Like, how do you tend to react to that or respond to it?
How you're overreacting, you're taking it to heart too much.
I'm sure she loves that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, because you must just get an earful once you've done that, because you're kind of pulling the pin on a grenade with that one. But that's very, that is a response a lot of people
have. I appreciate your honesty. And God bless you. You know what? Because, your willingness to call in and say, look, this is what I'm struggling with, that takes real humility and
really
real courage.
Does.
And I got to give you props for that, Rudy.
I'm impressed. Really.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, though. Was there something else you were trying to say there?
No, I'm trying to figure out why, because with other people, it doesn't seem to be that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So tell me, when you're talking
Not
about
always,
other people.
I'll listen more, but I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just having a hard time understanding it.
Sure. I get you. Well, look, and to some degree, people will say, well, this is kind of a guy thing. And it is and it isn't. Because this is something that men can certainly learn, right? It comes with a stronger, healthier attachment. And we can kind of talk you through some basic ideas for how to do that. Okay. What you're describing is sort of, she's venting, she's giving all this emotion, and you're feeling like it's your job to fix her feelings and to make her feel better. And of course, you kind of feel powerless when you do that because you can't do anything to fix her feelings. And so, when you tell her she's overreacting or whatever, what you're really saying is, I'm overwhelmed by what you're saying to me. I can't handle all this because I don't know what to do to fix it. And the funny thing about this, we were actually just talking about this the other day on the program, is she doesn't really want you to fix it, which sounds stupid and weird. But there was a study, I'll just share this with you, that talked about how the perception of support is actually even more important than receiving concrete support from other people. Why is that? Well, the research found that when you get concrete support from other people, especially if you haven't asked for it, it can make you feel stupid, it can make you feel needy, it can make you feel incompetent, right? But if you have somebody in your life who you know gets it, who is there kind of waiting on you to kind of get your own ducks in a row, who is, willing to give support if you ask for it, that perception of support is actually more helpful than anything that person could do for you. Now, if you ask them for help, then of course they need to respond to that. But up until that point where they say, hey, Rudy, I really need you to do this for me, or hey, really, Rudy, I'd really like you to do that for me, the best thing to do is to hold her hand and to sit with her and say, I'm so sorry you're going through this. Now, it might even feel fake to do that at first, but just trust me on this, okay? Just hold her hand, say, look, I really see how much you're hurting. I'm so sorry you're going through this. If you're listening to her, try to think of a time in your life that you've felt that way. Now, I'm not going to, you better be careful not to hijack the conversation.
Yeah,
okay?
That's very important underline.
But you want to be thinking, when have I ever felt like this? Okay? And then you can kind of say back to her, you know, honey, that reminds me, you know, of some times that I kind of felt like this, like when thus and such happened to me. Is that what it feels like to you?
Make sure you're ending with that question. So right. She sees that you're trying to apply it to something you felt, but it's still very much about her experience right. and you wanting to know about it.
You're not
it.
Telling a 20-minute story and making it about you. It's just, you know, hey, this reminds me of that time that I felt like this because that person said that mean thing to me. Is that kind of what it feels like to you? Yeah, that's exactly how I feel, Rudy. Thank you. You know, you see what I'm saying? She wants to know that she's got that heart-to-heart connection with you so that if she does need practical support, you'll know what to do because you actually understand her.
Now, again, Greg said it might not feel normal. You might feel like it's a little fake. That's okay.
Yeah.
This is a skill you need to practice. So, you know, pick your favorite sport or your favorite hobby. It's something that you've practiced over time. It's something that you weren't as good at 10 years ago as you probably are now because you've done it enough because you love it, and it's something that you want to get better at. Well, you know you love your wife, and I'm really thrilled, Rudy, that you can say that much. This is a way she needs you to be there for her, so therefore it's a skill you can practice. And just like, you know, learning to run a drill in football or learning to dance, it requires a certain set of steps that do not feel natural, that you fall on your face doing a few times when you start. But as you do it, it becomes more and more a part of who you are. And eventually you get really good at it or even excel at it. So it's okay if it doesn't feel like you at first, or it feels really practiced. But you'll get there as long as you commit to it.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to give you a resource, Rudy, to follow up. There's a book by Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-E-M-A-N, Daniel Goleman. He's essentially the father of what's called emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is exactly what we're talking about here, the ability to make that kind of heart-to-heart connection with people without feeling like you have to rush in and fix stuff or do things, but just to really be there for somebody in a way that lets them know that you care. It's an excellent book. And by the way, For people who this doesn't come naturally to, it benefits you to learn how to be more emotionally intelligent. Research consistently shows that people who express good EQ, is what it's called, are more successful professionally as well as personally. So it's a skill that benefits you whatever area you're in, because wherever you are, at work or at home, anywhere, people will like to know that you get them and you really understand what their needs are. They're more likely to trust you. They're more likely to give you more responsibility. They're more likely to respect you more. So EQ is essential for all of our relationships, including work relationships. So pick up that book, Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. He'll start really kind of walking through what this is all about and giving you more ideas for how to build on what we've suggested to you today. Our suggestions will get you started, but emotional intelligence, I think, will help get you the rest of the way. And if there's more we can do to support you, either call us back here on the program or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We're talking with you today, folks, about affection connection. What stops you from feeling as connected or as close to the people that you care about? You know, is it a particular conflict, a certain situation you don't know how to negotiate, something else that you can't quite put a finger on, whatever it is that's stopping you from feeling as connected, as affirmed, as close to someone you care about? Let's find some faithful, effective ways forward. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Network.
Hi there, Joe. Welcome to Mortal Life.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up today?
A few minutes ago, when the young lady was on talking about they had a child, but he's not affection. The guy's not. I'm married. We have children, adult and non-adult. And I'm that guy. For some reason, I'm not as affectionate as I should be. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling with how to do that.
What happens? Let me ask you this. This is going to sound like a weird question maybe, but when somebody tries to hug you or be affectionate with you, what happens? What does it feel like to you?
I like to hug.
You do?
Yeah.
So when you say you're not affectionate, then what does that mean to you?
It seems like I'm not affectionate, as affectionate with my wife as I should be. I know I'm not, but yet I don't know what my block is.
So, but when you say affectionate, like you said, you like to hug, but you're not affectionate. It's like, are you saying you like to hug other people, but just not her? Or what do you mean exactly?
Yeah, that's what it seems like sometimes. Yes.
Okay. So when she holds you, when she tries to give you a hug, what happens inside of you? How does it actually feel? Does it? Some people will say it feels, you know, awkward. Other people will say they feel like they're, I don't know, being like the energy is being sucked out of them. They feel squirmy. Like, what do you feel?
A little awkward.
Uh huh. And if that feeling could talk, what would it say?
That, you know, maybe I don't feel like I'm getting it back in return. And I'm not talking about the sexual part, just affection in general.
Okay. So it feels a little bit like she's putting it on you to say, be more affectionate to me, but she's not doing that to you, is sort of how it feels?
Like saying that, but yes.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. The first part, I think you said you don't like saying that. Is that what you said?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I don't.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Look, you know, see, because sometimes what happens when we can be affectionate with lots of people, but we're not affectionate with one specific person, that's it's not intentional, but it's kind of a passive aggressive way of saying I'm upset about something. There's a problem here that I'm not sure how to address, and being able to sort of sit with that feeling and say, you know, if that feeling could talk, what would it say? As weird a question as that is, you know, it enabled you to say, well, you know, I feel like she's not being as affectionate or as attentive to me, and so now, you know, now that you've recognized that, what you can do is sort of sit back and say, what are the things that we need to do as a couple to do a better job of attending to each other? Because see, if you just sort of say, well, I'm not going to be affectionate until she's attentive and affectionate to me, then what you got here is a standoff, right? Because you're both going to be looking at each other playing marital chicken, what I call marital. We talk about this in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, where you get two people who feel really justified in not being affectionate to each other and waiting for the other person to blink, right? And that's kind of what's happening here. The only way through that is for you to sit down with your wife and say, you know, I feel like we've not been doing as good a job as we need to take care of our relationship. What can we do to try to invest a little more time and energy and effort in it? Okay. And that might mean getting a more regular date. It could mean, you know, just making some time every night to pray together or to have a meaningful conversation about something. Whatever it is, think about the times that you feel in the history of your relationship when you've felt closest with her outside of the bedroom, like in other areas of a relationship. What are the things that you do when you feel most connected to her, when you feel like, you know, you're laughing together, or you feel like she really gets you? What are you doing then? How does that work, right? Make a list of those things. And then ask yourselves, how can we build more of this stuff into our daily life? How can we make more of an effort to do that? We have more ideas along these lines, actually, in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. I think it'll build on what we're talking about here. But the key to what you're talking about, at least the way you describe it, is that to get out of this sort of standoff position that you're in, where she's saying you're not affectionate enough to me, and you're saying, well, you're not affectionate enough to me either, but you're not saying it, right? So now you go back to her and say, we need to reinvest in the relationship. I got this book. Let's go through this together and start finding some ways to do that. But like I said, you can even take the suggestion that we made here right now and just sit down and make a list. Both of you sit down and make a list of all the times when you feel most connected to each other. And then ask yourselves, how can we build more of that into our daily lives?
And a lot of people will say, well, that's not fair. You know, if we really were connected, then it would just come to us. It's entirely fair. It's as though the two of you sort of came with your own native languages, and to be able to reach each other, to really connect with each other, you have to start being able to speak those languages. Well, you need to know the language. So if you each write down, hey, this is when I feel most connected with you, and you each do something from each other's list every day, or at worst, every week, where you make that date to connect in that way, you'll begin to create that connection. And it's okay to say, you know, I really want to know what's important to you. I really want to know what makes you feel connected to me. I will begin to do those things, even if they're hard for me at first. That's a real commitment and investment in your relationship that pays off when the spouse hears it, for both of you.
What we're describing to you, Joe, is called the love list exercise, where you list those kinds of things that make you feel loved or cherished, and then you intentionally start to build those things into your everyday life. If you want more support on the walking through the steps of that exercise, plus additional ideas, check out the chapter on that in For Better Forever, The Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. It'll get you the rest of the way. And of course, if we can support you anymore, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the air or through CatholicCounselors.com. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about creating that affection connection in your life between you and the people you care about. What's getting in the way of you feeling as close as you'd like to be to the people that God's placed in your life? Let's get those obstacles out of the way and start letting that love flow more freely. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more. More to Life coming up after the break.
He was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
More to Life is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Hello, I'm Al Cresta. Thousands of poor Guatemalan families lost everything when Volcano Fuego's eruption wiped out their villages. You can restore hope to these grieving families by supporting Cross Catholic Outreach's efforts to build simple but sturdy replacement homes in a new volcano-safe zone. The Catholic Church is strongest when it stands together. Call 866-765-4280. That's 866-765-4280. Or by visiting crosscatholic.org/volcano.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass, while essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and the study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about making that affection connection in your life. Are you getting the love that you need? Do you find it difficult to give the love that others are asking for from you? Either way, we want to help you make that connection and let God's love flow through your relationships. 877-573-7825.
And if you'd like to connect with us more often than just in this hour, we invite you to join us on all the forms of social media. On Facebook, we're at More2Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa on Facebook. On Instagram and Twitter, we're at Catholic Counselors. And today would be a great day to start following us on all that social media so you can wish my wonderful husband a happy birthday.
Eigevold.
It's your birthday today. And I am very grateful to God for your birth and your life and you sharing your life with me.
I'm grateful for another birthday, however
there
it comes.
You
so
go.
Thank you for that. With that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking with Sandra, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Sandra, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello?
Hi, what's up?
Hi. Well, happy birthday, first of all.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And with your spirit, what can we do for you?
So I'm calling because I have four daughters. My oldest is 16, my twins are 15, and my little one's 11.
Okay.
And I struggle with affection, like giving them affection. Like I have to remind myself, tell myself. Not so much with the little one. The little one's a little bit different. We do cuddle a lot more.
The
11-year-old. But there's times like when my older ones try to give me a hug, and it like makes me mad.
Talk to me about that. Just for a minute. Okay, I'm going to ask you a similar question that I asked Joe just a minute ago. Okay, so just imagine that your 16-year-old is giving you a hug, okay? And she's holding you, and you're feeling mad. If that feeling could talk, what would it say?
and not feeling to talk.
Just whatever pops into your head. Don't overthink it. If that feeling could talk,
I guess,
what would
it say? You know, I feel like maybe I don't deserve it.
You don't deserve it. Okay. And go with that for just a second. If you could tell me a little bit more about that. What you know, what is that feeling saying that you don't deserve it for?
Because I can be a bad mom.
Because you feel like a bad mom?
Not a good mom. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's this...
I was not always a good mom. I'm working on it now.
Uh-huh.
And I always feel like there's not enough time.
Yeah.
And that I messed up. And I'm trying to get better on that, like not to let it get so overwhelming and have more hope.
Well, you know what? If your 16-year-old wants to give you hugs, then you couldn't have been a terrible mom. You know, she still loves you, and she wants you to love her back. And you know, when she's hugging you, what she's saying is that you know what? I know what kind of a mom you were, and I love you, and I know that you love me.
And she's also saying, let's take a minute and make that connection now.
Yeah. And what's happening is that part of you that's beating up on yourself for not being the mom you wanted to be is causing you to reject that love. And, you know, even if you're kind of going through the motions of taking that hug from her, it's not reciprocating it. So it ends up blocking that connection. So what I want you to do, two things, okay? When you're getting that hug from your daughters, I want you to go into that hug knowing that voice is going to go off in your head that says, you're a bad mom and you don't deserve this hug. You don't deserve this affection from her. And I want you to say, recognize that that's the voice of Satan. And I want you to say, God, help me to hear your voice reminding me of how much you love me and how much you're giving me the grace to be the mom that you want me to be, and to just relax into this hug with my daughter and let her know all the love that I have in my heart for her, and to receive all the love that she has for me. And just make that little prayer while she's hugging you, okay? Then I'd also, in addition to that, every day, okay, just for like 10 minutes, all right, I want you to have a conversation with that part of you, okay? So I want you to do a little dialogue exercise where you write, and it's really important to write this out. You cannot do it in your head. I tell my clients this all the time. They ignore me for 6 months, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, wow, look, I did it, and it works. And you know, trust me on this, okay? You want to write this out. Step one, write out, just let that part of you that feels like you are a bad mom, just let her vent, okay? Just for a paragraph, you know, keep it short. Then step away from it for a second in your mind and just say, okay, God, help me to see this situation through your eyes. Help me to see myself through your eyes. Help me to see myself as the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled woman that you are calling me to be. And then I want you to pretend to be that person. You won't feel like you're her. That's okay. Just pretend to be that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person. And I want you to write back to that other part, that part that says you're a bad mom. And I want you to tell her all the stuff you know to be true, even if you don't feel like it's true. Just talk back to her. Just the way a loving but firm parent would talk to a child. And I want you to say to her, you know, listen, I understand why you feel that way, but this is the truth. And this is, you know, this is how I want to handle the situation, and this is why I need you to trust me. And you're just going to walk her through that in a paragraph, okay? But you're doing that every day. So you're doing, in the moment, when you're getting the hug or giving the hug, you're watching that self-talk, and you're bringing that to God, and you're praying through the anger and reminding yourself that being a good mom in this moment means participating in this hug and really giving your heart to your daughter and letting her give her heart to you. But every day you're preparing for that and building on it by doing that little dialogue journaling exercise where you're talking back to that part of yourself and really helping to integrate that the truth of this, which is that we're all growing. We're all learning, and none of us were the parents that we wanted to be perfectly 100% of the time. But you're learning, and you're trying, and you're growing, and you're loving as best you can. And that's the most important thing. And you kind of build on that every day.
There's also another wonderful thing that you can try doing in addition to this. Go with Greg's, you know, journaling exercise first. That's most important. But the other thing I'd like to invite you to do is to try to get about 10 minutes, 20 would be optimal, but, you know, this is a real shift, about 10 minutes a day, either with each kid or with all four of them in the same room with you, where you just have conversations without any commands or any critiques. Okay, so it's not go do this or get your homework done or you didn't clean up your bedroom or why don't you or if you would just, it's just conversations and being together. If you can practice that for about 10 minutes a day, you'll begin to feel elevated as a mom because you'll begin to feel that connection. You're not always going to be in police mode or in I have to form them mode. It's being with the mode. And you'll begin to say, hey, I have control over this relationship in a way that brings us closer together. And that affection will start to feel more right inside when you have those hugs that Greg's talking about.
And honestly,
about.
Pope Francis says exactly the same when he says waste time with your kids. Take that 10 minutes a day, just not focus on a task or get anything done or boss them around.
No commands, no critiques.
Just waste that time and really let that connection flow. Sandra, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you in becoming the mom you feel God's calling you to be, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for all you listeners as well who are struggling to make that affection connection. If you need some support, we're here for you with faithful, professional Catholic counseling over the phone to help you heal your marriage, family, or personal life. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day, and remember, folks, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live. God bless.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.